Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning, Pastor Scheidbach is not politically correct, and even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Are you ready for your gray matter massage?
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Paul Revere's lantern lighter here, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Just about the time I think America is at the point where God is going to let it go, and she's going to go hurtling straight to hell, as in, wait a minute, hold on, I've got to take care of something. We're going to take a moment. Bible thump alert, Bible thump alert! All atheists, agnostics, porn-addled perverts, God-hating antichrist lovers of darkness, all haters of freedom and liberty, unless it's freedom and liberty to pursue happiness as defined by moral degeneration, feeding on the sewage left by moral relativist humanists, that anything goes bohemian style of living whose filth has contaminated this nation politically, sociologically, causing many to hate the Bible and the God of the Bible so much that when they hear it read, and sometimes even when they hear it mentioned, they act like vampires being chased by garlic. Hey, your irrational hatred, the quickening of your heart rate. Don't you see that you are a child of the dark lord of the air? Consider yourself forewarned. I'm about to quote from the book quoted by our founders more than any other single book. Imagine that. In America, somebody reading the Bible in public. Quote, the wicked shall be turned into hell and every nation that forgets God, end quote. I wish I could say I was merely being facetious and that I'm only joking. Those of you who get bent out of shape when someone reads the Bible in public, have you ever stopped to ask yourself why you get twisted out of torque range when someone simply reads the Bible? I mean, you ought to see some of the reactions you get in public places if you simply carry one in the open. You would think you were putting garlic under the noses of vampires. Maybe just about the time I think God is about to let go of America and let her drop off into hell, I read about how degraded some of these other countries have become. Did you hear about what's going down under? I mean, in the Australian state of Victoria, a shameless anti-Christian lover of perversity is promoting a new reality show. And in this reality show, virgins auction off their virginity. I'm not kidding. And it all happens on camera. You know, lights, action. Grab some popcorn, watch the show. Oh, looky there, daughter. Ha, 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 ha. How much do you suppose they'll get for that virgin? Hey, don't hog the popcorn. Honey, don't you want to go on TV and auction off your virginity? Look, each one gets $20,000. Wow, I wonder how high the bidding will go for that one. Hey, son, how much do you suppose you could get for your virginity? Oh, you don't have it anymore? Har, 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 har. You pack of dogs. Hey, anyone out there want to auction off your virginity? I understand scarcity puts upward pressure on prices. I mean, after all, quote, according to the American Academy of Pediatrics, 36.9% of 14-year-olds have had sex, more than one out of three. Among 12th graders, 66.4% have had sex. That's two out of three. As long as we're talking statistics, here you go. Quote, among teens each year, there are about 3 million cases of sexually transmitted diseases and approximately 1 million pregnancies, end quote. You suppose there's any correlation here? Oh, here's another one. Quote, human immunodeficiency virus, that's HIV, infection is the sixth leading cause of death among persons, ready, aged 15 to 24 years in the United States, end quote. My friends, when I say an Australian guy named Justin Sisley is promoting a new reality game show in which he presents virgins that will be auctioned off to give up their virginity on camera, I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. When I say this fellow from down under has, quote, convinced several young people to appear in a reality television program in which they auction off their virginity, end quote, by offering them, quote, a $20,000 fee, end quote, and then promising to give them, quote, 90% of their sale price, end quote, I mean to say, that I'm quoting a report that was published in the Sydney Daily Telegraph. The Aussie who came up with this brilliant new way to exploit the stupidity of young people is Justin Sisley. According to this article, he, quote, admitted his plan was unpopular with the parents of the people involved, end quote. He said, quote, they hate me, end quote. No kidding. So do I. Now don't get your shorts in a knot. Listen, Bible thump alert. Bible thump alert! Psalm 139, 21 to 22. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies, end quote. By the way, we're not alone here. God hates the promoters of immorality in this world. Oh, yeah. He hates those who open themselves up as channels of evil. Disease, heartbreak, abuse, degradation. Bible thump alert. Bible thump alert. Well, you know, by now the God haters have already turned off the radio. They've pounded their dashboard into pieces so hard they're howling now with the pain of a broken wrist or cursing at a broken radio. Anyway. Psalm 11:5, quote, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth, end quote. Wow, God's soul hates guys like this. Mercy. I can just hear the ignorant, dumbed-down, supercilious, shallow-water Christianettes whining, but God loves everybody. Well, I know he does. In fact, he loves us more than any of you world-loving, idol-worshipping Baalites will ever understand, even though you call yourselves Christians. He sent his son to die for all these wicked people that his soul hates. Imagine that. Imagine how wonderful it is when a man dies for those he loves. Consider how truly incredible it is if one would die for those he hates. And now try to get your head around the truth that God gave his only begotten son to die for those his soul hates. Imagine that. Think about it. God loves those he hates more than we love those we claim we love. I don't have time to help you understand love and hate biblically, but clearly most people don't have a clue. What you do need to understand is this. God's soul hates the wicked, and I'm on God's side. Like the psalmist, I hate them with perfect hatred. Now, perfect hatred is certainly different from the kind of hatred Islamo-fascists have for infidels. My hatred for the wicked does not motivate me to strap bombs around my children and send them into restaurants to blow innocent bystanders into eternity. At the same time, however, my perfect hatred for guys like this Justin from Australia motivates me to stand against him publicly, to resist his evil influence in this world, to condemn his behavior, to command him to repent. You ready? In the name of Jesus. You doing okay over there? Looks like you're having some trouble. Need some oxygen? Come on, take a few deep breaths. Come on, you'll be okay. That Christ hater over there, you see him? You better give him a bag. He's hyperventilating. Anyway, God hates the wicked. The word wicked, by the way, that translates a Hebrew word that refers specifically to an actively immoral person. And that would be immorality as God defines it. So I guess a character who recruits young people to auction off their virginity would qualify as someone God's soul hates, and certainly qualifies as someone I hate perfectly. And this word hatred in the Bible, that's interesting too. It translates a Hebrew word that transliterates into sane. Isn't that perfect? Of course, it's pronounced a little differently, but it letter for letter translates to sane. You know, any sane person would hate such a perverse man who would exploit the simple into selling their virginity on TV. No human dignity remaining. Now, you think I'm merely name-calling. Good night. You are new to the show. I absolutely never gratuitously just call names. I never do it. I use words that actually describe the person or the behavior that's in question. I never gratuitously call names. I accurately describe people. When I say this guy is recruiting simple-minded folks, I mean he's recruiting simple-minded folks. For example, here's a 21-year-old woman from Sydney who calls herself Veronica, not her real name, you know, because, it wouldn't be because she's ashamed or anything. It's just that, anyway, in her words, quote, technically, I'm selling my virginity for money. Technically, that would be classified as prostitution. But it's not going to be a regular thing, so in my head, I can justify that I'm not going to be a prostitute, end quote. You see what I mean? Enough said. Simple-minded, fools at heart. Not convinced? All right, here's another bright one who applied for the show. He explained that he applied as a, quote, way of meeting someone, end quote. Oh, his parents must be proud. Boy, he's down to the bottom of the barrel, isn't he? So, folks, I'm not kidding when I say there's a fellow out there from down under, and no doubt from farther down under than he would realize, who is promoting a new reality TV show in which virgins auction off their human dignity. I mean, their character. I mean, their soul. As in, you know, that bit in the Bible about a whore's bed being the way to hell. But I am kidding, sort of. When I say just about the time I think God is about to drop America into hell as a nation that has forgotten him, I come across something going on in another nation that makes America look morally upright by comparison. You know, as in the story about this fellow from down under who's promoting a reality TV show in which virgins auction off their virginity on camera. And what do you mean, you say? Well, actually, guess what? Australia does not want anything to do with this pervert. And I am chagrined. I am embarrassed. If you could see my face, it would be red as can be. And I'm deeply troubled by the fact that, quote, Justin Sisley was forced to move the auction from the Australian state of Victoria to the state of Nevada in America. Perhaps God is letting go. Perhaps we are slipping into the cesspool of hell even as I speak. God help us. I'll be right back.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights-off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message. Your brain massage will continue in a moment. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com for an archive of great brain massage shows that you can download and distribute to others free of charge. If you want to give us a gift to help with broadcasting costs, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and click on the donate button or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur, spokesperson for God and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemies on the march. In the last segment, I mentioned the perversity monger from down under, and I don't mean Australia. In fact, as I pointed out, the Aussies don't want anything to do with this filthy humanist capitalist exploiter of the prurient in all classes. Follow that? It's interesting, isn't it, how Marxist humanists blame everything on profit motive of the capitalist system that exploits the so-called working class, while they greedily advocate the exploitation of youthful lusts to bind the souls of our kids in sexual bondage and expose them to death-dealing diseases called STDs, and they do it for profit. You've noticed, of course, the eagerness of Rahm and company to exploit disasters to promote their evil in the world. They're all in the same boat. They are the exploiters who greedily capitalize on every evil in society. Evils like laziness, racism, ignorance, that's right. Progressives are capitalists of the most vile kind. They capitalize on the indolence of that is resident in sinful human nature. They encourage it, they use it, they exploit it, they capitalize on it for their own profit, to gain power. By capitalizing on the laziness of people with low character, they exploit racism and capitalize on it to profit their agenda. They exploit ignorance and capitalize on it to profit their agenda. Those who do this are wicked. And as we have learned in the last segment, God's soul hates them. Well, guess what? Did you know that our nation's STD infection rates rival those of third world countries? Oh, yeah. In spite of, quote, first-rate health care, Americans are dealing with third world infection rates, end quote. But progressives have an agenda, and that agenda requires extirpating Christian morals and values that have shaped American mores for about three centuries. Oh, yeah, it does go back before the Revolution. That is necessary because those values and mores serve as the foundation for the American proposition that has effectively weakened tyrants the world over. And that proposition is, all men are created equal and are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, end quote. Because this interferes with tyrants, you know. And it interferes with tyrants because it says a man owes his ultimate allegiance and fidelity to his creator and not to the state. It says effectively that no man is king, only Jesus, the creator, has that place in a man's life. It says that each individual has certain rights that no man or group of men have the legitimate right to restrict. It says there is a line across which no government can step without thereby rendering itself no longer legitimate. And statists like Obama and company are threatened by that truth. Oh, yeah, they'll tolerate a government-granted system of rights so long as government is the sovereign over the souls of men. But the notion that there is a power greater than government, and that that power rests in the hands of the people, even in the hands of the individual created in the image of God, is something progressive collectivists cannot abide. And so they must extirpate, fully destroy, the very center, the very heart of the Christian faith, the gospel. Oh, yeah. You see, the gospel is grounded upon this as a first principle, and that is Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, yeah. So you understand why progressives don't like Christianity. You see, they can truck with Islam, man, because it's a religion that empowers the state. Yeah, not the individual, but the state to control every action of every individual under its power. To promote morality, the biblical kind of morality, is to their mind to promote Christianity in our culture, and so progressives want none of that. Besides, it's easier to control people of low character. Therefore, we cannot tell our kids that it is morally wrong to behave like dogs and hook up with anyone anytime, to use sex as recreation rather than to honor it as God's marriage gift. Consequently, the government will go all crazy with concern about H1N1 and scare everybody with fears of a pandemic killer flu. And indeed, since April of last year, 2009, more than 11,000 people died of that flu. Of course, pretty close to that many die every year from flu-related causes. But, well, you know, that won't help us advance panic and create a sense that everybody needs the government. Did you know that more than 20,000 people have died from STDs? And that was in 2004 alone. Was there any hysteria? Was there any wild warnings and constant public announcements? I mean, didn't Father Obama come out and instruct his children that they should wash their hands regularly and stay home if they're sick? Well, thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. I didn't know I should wash my hands, Daddy. Thank you. Who's your daddy, America? All of these STD deaths were fully preventable. All you have to do is obey the Bible when it comes to sexual activity. But does anyone from the government come out and give public announcements about abstinence and promote monogamy and so on? Of course not. Why? Oh, that would be promoting religion. Fools. Wettstein of the Washington Times warns us that 1.1 million cases of chlamydia are reported every year, and because it is a silent disease, which means the symptoms are difficult to detect until it's too late, up to 90% of women who have the disease don't know they have it, which means there are probably close to 2 million new cases every year, and the spread of the disease is exponential among our younger population because promiscuity is advocated in our youth culture. And as for that bit about protected sex, you know, what the government knows full well, they refuse to tell you. Condoms are only roughly 50% effective in protecting us from the spread of this one. That means you flip a coin and you have a 50-50 chance of getting the disease. Okay, fools. This chlamydia is very treatable. But what the government is not telling you is there is rapidly developing a new strain of gonorrhea. William Smith, head of the, quote, National Coalition of STD Directors, end quote, warns of a new, quote, monster strain of gonorrhea and how it could affect every corner of the country, end quote. It's being referred to by some as the next superbug. It, quote, appears to be almost completely resistant to antibiotics, end quote. Why will the government go crazy with public health warnings about H1N1 so that even the president steps forward and makes public statements, you know, telling his Obamabot simpletons that they need to wash their hands and stay home when sick? I mean, very pointedly imposing himself into the personal lives and directing the behaviors of his subjects. But thousands die of STDs. 3 millions of our teens contract STDs every year. A new gonorrhea superbug appears on the scene that is, quote, resistant to almost all antibiotics, end quote, and the government does not create public health advisory announcements that run 24/7 around the clock. And the president alleged does not feel he should step forward and make any behavioral recommendations to our young people and say, hey, promiscuity is very possibly going to kill you and it's spreading diseases in our country. Oh, no. Why? Well, that would be moralizing. We can't, you know, mix church and state and all that. That and the fact that, as a matter of fact, quote, gonorrhea's resistant strains tend to show up first in men who have sex with men, end quote. Well, well, well. And we all know how Obama feels about girly men and how Michelle feels about manly girls. All right, I'll be right back.
Want to help us slay the dragons of deceit with the sword of the spirit? Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today. Or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheinbach, Brain Masseur, spokesperson for God, Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter. Gotta wrap up another great show. I brought to your attention the fellow from down under, and I mean hell, who has come to Nevada to promote his new reality TV show in which he auctions off the virginity of those willing to sell it to him for $20,000 and a stake in whatever he sells them for. It is likely the most vile and perverted thing to come down the pike, if you know what I mean. You know, words are interesting to me. You probably noticed that. The term pike, as in come down the pike, is a short form of turnpike and refers to an expressway, however. The word pike, well, I mean, besides being the name of a fish you catch in Canada, refers to a military instrument, an infantry weapon with a steel-pointed head on a long wooden pole. And it occurred to me, when I used the word here, to refer to this wicked pervert who wants to buy the virginity of young people and auction it off on TV to the highest bidder as the most vile thing to come down the pike. Well, I immediately saw in my mind's eye Satan using this piker to stab our young people, skewer them, and run them down the pike. Anyway, then I mentioned the other pikers in our government, you know, who are piking our kids. All hysteria over H1N1 intruding into the personal habits and behaviors of King Obama's subjects, instructing them, you know, to correct their behaviors and wash their hands. And yet when 3 million of our teens and a new strain of antibiotic-resistant gonorrhea starts cropping up among the queers and spreading out into the general population, no hysteria, no pontificating pronouncements from Father Obama to his children warning them to stay away from risky sex. Isn't that interesting? And this is because, you know, we must maintain the separation of church and state. Now, I can see I won't have time to fully develop this point. I'll summarize it. When President Jefferson took office, the Danbury Baptists wrote to congratulate him. And, knowing his reputation as a firm advocate of the freedom of religion, they hoped to encourage him to use his influence to encourage all the states to understand that all liberties, and especially the liberty of conscience, was a divine right that came from God and not from man. You see, back then, some of the ideals of the Declaration of Independence and Bill of Rights were still working their way into the general conscience of the nation's states. Okay? Connecticut certainly granted freedom of religion, but the language of their constitution clearly indicated the idea that this freedom was granted by the state and that it was not an inalienable right of individual liberty, you know, that descended from the Creator. And the Danbury Baptists of Connecticut were concerned about that. And in Jefferson's response to these Baptists, he made some very interesting statements. Among them was this, quote, "I contemplate with sovereign reverence that act of the whole American people which declared that their legislature should make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, thus building a wall of separation between church and state," end quote. You are, I think, familiar with that expression, separation of church and state. It's not in the Constitution, but Jefferson clearly believed the First Amendment of the Constitution enshrined this principle. Jefferson is regarded by history as the nemesis of tyrants everywhere, the foe of would-be tyrants, the architect of liberty. Well, more is made of his part in the architecture of liberty than is warranted by the facts. His skill in writing was certainly acknowledged, but the fact is Jefferson wrote nothing but what was generally believed and stated and debated among his peers. Madison, Adams, Franklin, Washington, Patrick Henry et al., even Hamilton, by the way, with whom Jefferson often quarreled, was ardent in his advocacy of the essential principles expressed by Jefferson in the language of the Declaration of Independence. Indeed, James Madison, it probably can be said, had more to do with the development of the First Amendment than did Jefferson. But that is something we can discuss at another time. Jefferson's love for religious liberty and his hatred of tyrants is certainly conceded and applauded. His statement about the wall of separation between church and state, however, was said in a context in which he said other things very pertinent to our right understanding of what he meant. And the first thing we must remember is this. Jefferson ensconced the first principle of liberty in the elegant phrasing, "All men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights." Obviously, therefore, separation of church and state did not to him mean the extirpation of religious ideas or beliefs from having any bearing or influence upon statements of state. Hello? But in this letter, Jefferson also said, quote, "Believing with you that religion is a matter which lies solely between man and his God, that he owes account to none other for his faith or his worship, that the legitimate powers of government reach actions only and not opinions," end quote. Listen, it was From there, he went on to make the point that the concerns of the Danbury Baptists were protected by the First Amendment, which he said built a wall of separation between the church and state. Now look, Jefferson believed the First Amendment protected the people from tyrants who would use religion as an excuse to establish a dominion over the conscience of the people. It is ironic, is it not, that the language of this man intended to protect the people from tyrants is today being used by tyrants to construct the chains by which they will enslave us and our opinions. In the name of the separation of the church and the state, a Navy chaplain has been convicted of a misdemeanor count of, quote, disobeying his commanding officer for wearing his uniform while delivering a prayer in Jesus' name in an assembly in front of the White House, end quote. Oh, yeah. In the name of separation of church and state, the Navy has decided its chaplains cannot pray in Jesus' name. So, the separation of church and state doctrine has now been turned around to directly violate the context in which that statement was made. A context in which Jefferson said that religion is a personal matter that lies solely between man and his God, that he is not accountable to any other man for those beliefs or for the manner in which those beliefs are expressed in worship, such as praying. Just because that man puts on a Navy uniform doesn't mean he has forfeited his inalienable rights. They're called inalienable for a reason. The Navy says its Christian chaplains cannot pray in Jesus' name, yet the Bible says they must. You know, it's interesting, they can name Allah in their prayers. The Wiccans can name Gaia in their prayers. Oh yeah, the name of any god or goddess may be invoked in prayers. Only one name is verboten by these modern-day Nazis, and that's the name of Jesus. In Lancaster, California, where my good friend Pastor Chapel pastors the Lancaster Baptist Church, his city is being sued for, quote, opening its city council meetings with prayers that critics say are usually made by Christian clergy, and quote, oh, imagine that. Once again, an individual's religious rights to worship in public according to his own conscience are subordinated to the collectivist mentality of Marxists. And now, in the city of Lancaster, California, guess who's bringing this suit? The widow of the late Irv Rubin, head of the Jewish Defense League. My Jewish friends should do all in their power to tell this dear lady that anti-Christian sentiment is every bit as ugly as anti-Semitism. You might also remind her that Israel is loved in America by Christians and hated by the morons, moronic folks like her and many other Jews continue to support. It's getting old, folks. You talk about partial blindness of the Jewish people, oy vey. Oh, and here's a goodie. In Georgia, a group of folks in a senior care center were told that because their meal was being provided by the government, they were forbidden to pray over it before they ate it. That's it. These miserable tyrants are attempting to use Jefferson's statement that he wrote with the intention to protect the people from this kind of tyranny of the state. And they're using that to actually use the state to do exactly what it was Jefferson was opposed to. Extending the reach of government into the control of how people worship their God. Now, I wonder if there is a thread that connects all of this today. Oh yeah, there is. You see, when a nation forgets God, that nation is cast off into hell. And here we go. You can do a lot to correct this nonsense in November. I've lit the lights in the church belfry arch that signal the enemies on the march. Call in and let me know you see the lights are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. That number again is 1-888-770-8000. Say lights on if you agree with me and lights off if you disagree with me. You can reach me by email. Go to santamarialighthouse.org. Click on the contact us button and write me a message. Or you can go to thebrainmassageshow.com and you'll go to our radio page of that website and you'll have access to a lot of brain massages and all kinds of good stuff. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
You can't put a price tag on the truth, but there is a price tag to broadcast it. You can help. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Want some more? Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com.